Hello, and welcome to Conversations Across the Pond with Angel and Nicola. I'm Nicola, and we're just two friends from different continents who connected online and as kindred spirits, even though we agree to disagree on some topics. Join us for no holds barred conversations as we demonstrate that you don't have to agree on everything, but can still be friends.
Welcome back. Here we are again with the podcast. I'm Nicola and this is Angel.
Hello.
So we've just been having a chat about what we could talk about today. And one of my favourite topics and something that seems really current and important at the moment is oneness. And what prompted me wanting to talk about this today was a tweet that I came across, and it was about a guy called James Lovelock, who was a scientist. He's died, I think, last week, July the 27th, something like that. He was 103. He'd had quite a life, done all sorts of different things, but he'd come up with a theory called the Gaia theory, and it was about the connectedness that we have to Earth and the planet. And I need to read about it in more depth, but it just made my senses kind of switch on. And he was talking about how we shape the environment, and I'm guessing as well that the environment shapes us. And he was talking about the planet is a living organism, which I think sometimes people don't see it as that. And then the other thing in the original tweet, the guy who had posted about James Lovelock mentioned about Aboriginal dreaming, and which he talks about this recognizing the interrelationship between all people and all things, which is something that I very much believe in. And he talks about his hashtags are One Health, Planetary Health, Eco Health. And then when I pulled a card this morning from the Starseed Oracle, I got Activated Earth. And in there on the description, it says, in Australian Aboriginal culture, song lines were the paths traveled by the creator beings as they made the land and sea during the dreaming. And again, it was sort of the same topic, coming back to this whole idea of we're one with the planet as well as being one with each other. So there you go. And discuss.
I love the synchronicity. That was so cool.
I couldn't believe it. I pulled three cards and it was the last one. And I looked at it, and then I read the description in the little book, and I thought, you just can't make this stuff up.
Yes.
But I do love it when that happens.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the ordinary magic thing for me. It feels so, ironically, it feels so connecting to me. It feels like that's, I would call it God's road signs. Like, that's just proof to me that we are all connected. And
yeah,
you know, there is more than just this meat suit.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
You know, just based on what you're thinking or what you just said too, I'm thinking a little bit about what I said. I don't remember if it was in the last episode or in the one before that, where I said, I think repeatedly, like, I don't mind if humanity doesn't make it because I know mama will make it. You know what I mean? Like, she will. And this is part of why I believe that, because I do believe that the earth is its own kind of living organism, and it's its own entity, you know. And maybe there's not the same type of consciousness as what we would think of for ourselves, or maybe there is, hell, I don't know. But I do believe that if we as humanity, if we could either come back to what all other animals do, which is to learn to live appropriately within our environment, so that there's a support, give and take, or if we just weren't here, she would be fine. Yeah. And all of our other kin here would be fine. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, I think, I mean, we talk about this quite a lot because, you know, you kind of think, you read all this stuff about climate and how we're at this, you know, what, 1 minute to midnight and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe we're in a position where it's irreparable. I don't believe that, but let's just consider maybe that's where we are. And, you know, that to me makes our role a different one to thinking that we're here, the planet's going to survive, we're all going to survive. And it's just an outcome. And like you say, the Earth will carry on whether we do as a species or not. So yeah, I think we've still got a chance to make things better. But I do think understanding that we're all one and we're one with nature and the planet is part of that understanding and that ability for us to move forward.
Yeah, I am with you in terms of like, I don't think it's too late. It may be true that we've passed certain milestones and maybe we have changed some things to the point that we can't necessarily come back from it easily or in a short period of time. But I also see this is where the whole thing with like the human consciousness thing that we've talked about before, this is where this comes in for me. It's like, I do believe that when we hit a certain critical mass of people who have reconnected, I guess, to something bigger than them, something deeper, something wiser, so that they're not just, so that we as humanity are not just focused on the consumerism and, you know, the selfishness and all of the stuff that we've talked about so many times. I think that once that happens, once we do reach that critical mass, there will be enough of a push.
Yeah.
That we can change things so fast, it would make the head spin. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I really do think it can happen like super, super fast. I mean, look at, I think often about with the pandemic and how quickly, when there was a worldwide pandemic and things had to change, once everybody kind of grasped that to whatever degree, there's some, some did better than some of us, you know? But once everybody grasped that, it was like we turned on a dime.
Yeah.
I remember reading about how there were people in India who could not see the Himalayas from where they were. Suddenly they could, because people were off the roads. The pollution went down dramatically, super quick. Like,
yeah.
I remember reading stories about that left, right, and center. So it's amazing how quickly it can happen. It's just that we have to get to the point. Did I share with you last time the I think I did, I may be repeating myself, about the city of Tolosa in the line in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, even seeing things like that just gives me so much hope. It's like the ingenuity, the creativity, the will to not only make things more equitable for the people involved, which is a big deal, but also to take into account to reduce our footprint on the planet such that we're not only are we no longer creating all of this damage, we're actually mitigating the damage that we've caused already. Like, it just, I get so excited. Like, you can probably hear it in my voice if people are listening. But I do. It's so exciting to think about what we can do.
Yeah.
If we just put our minds to it and if we become willing to change our own habits and expectations, you know?
Yeah, I remember those first few weeks when the whole everywhere was kind of locked down and you could go out for an hour a day. And it was just so nice going out and there not being no cars to speak of on the roads and there were no planes in the sky. And we had beautiful weather here, I mean, we had weeks and weeks of just amazing weather. And it was just so nice to go out. You felt like the energy of the earth had changed. When I walked, we still lived in Chorley at that point. And when I walked on the route that we often took with Bamba, it just felt so different. The energy was just really almost tangible, and it felt so great. And I kind of wished, you know, that none of the cars would come back. And I mean, I agree, it just goes to show what can happen in a short space of time. And you know, there was talk, I don't know whether there is still an ozone hole in the ozone layer, but there was talk about all these different things kind of repairing and numbers of pollution going down and all that type of stuff. So I think change can happen really quickly. And a lot of what I read, people are saying, oh, you know, we're in a dire situation and there's all this stuff going on and all the pollution and heat, temperatures and this type of stuff. But it's just having that belief that it doesn't have to take a long time to change it. And I think that is going to be the key. I think there's going to be a pivotal moment when either we reach that tipping point of consciousness, when there are enough people who can, their energy and the vibe and frequency makes that change happen, or there'll be some catalyst that will take place that people will just suddenly go, yeah, I've got it now, and we need to do some things differently.
Yeah. You know what? I keep thinking, so my husband and I were just talking this weekend about current events and a little bit of politics and a little bit of religion, a little bit of everything really. And this came up because we were just talking about, like, not only what it would take, but how right now it seems to be, I keep feeling like we are in that pivotal point, like right now, like over here with, there were so many shootings in such a short period of time, and they were so intense. And the one at Uvalde in Texas was so, I mean, we still are hearing updates about that and about how so many different things broke down that turned it into this just horrific disaster that it was. And I feel like that caused, so there's that. And then there's the overturning of Roe versus Wade here. And then there's all the stuff going on with Trump and the January 6th hearings and all of that. And there's all of these different things that keep feeling to me like, oh my God, can this get any worse? Oh my God, can this get any worse? But I do feel, oh, and then the weather, that's the other thing that I was going to say, the massive heat wave that we had here and that I know you had there. I keep feeling like all of these things keep piling on top of each other.
Yeah.
And as much as we keep asking, holy crap, can it get any worse? So many of us are reaching that tipping point within ourselves where it's like, okay, this is no, like that, there's my line. We've just crossed my line. I have to do something different. And I think that that's when these things will start to change, when each of us as individuals hits that wall where we're like, okay, what can I do differently? Like when people start researching, how can I reduce my footprint? How can I use less plastic? How can I live lighter on the planet? Like, how can I reduce my consumers? Whatever. How can I learn to be more of a minimalist? Whatever it is for that person. But as we do that, we start to think differently. Our energy changes. And then we start to see things differently. That's one of our topics that we have on here to talk about at some point, like how the inside impacts the outside and vice versa potentially. But how, as we change inside of us and our energy changes, we start to see things change outside. And I think then it just becomes a self-perpetuating cycle, which is really exciting, right? Like that's when, to me, I think that that's when we do hit that critical mass or that tipping point and things just like explode and change. And I think that too, like, I'm so excited about a lot of the, I would say kids, you know, younger people coming up now that Rob and I were talking about this too. It's like, they don't want to pay for this crazy college experience that we have over here. I don't know if it's different there, but like it takes people freaking decades to pay off college loans. And it's like, and even after all of that, they still can't find a job when they get out. You know what I mean? And then if they do find
like
job,
what you said, when they get out, it sounds like they're getting out of prison.
Exactly. I bet it feels that way a lot of times.
Yeah.
And then even if they do find a job, so often it's with a crappy company that's taking advantage of its employees and treating them more like machines than human beings. And I get excited for them too, because it's like, they're not having this bullshit. They're not having it. So many of them are just like, y'all are crazy if you think I'm going to live that way. So I get really excited. Like some people are talking about that, like they're lazy and they don't want to work in this, that, and the other. It's like, oh, dude, they're human. They want to live. That's what we're meant to do.
Yeah, yeah.
This is exciting. This is not bad.
Yeah, I think, well, I think it's similar over here. I think, you know, we've had a phase where a lot of people went to university and they ended up with massive debt. And I think they've changed the rules not that long ago about how much you had to pay back. And I think they've increased the amount that people have to pay back sooner or something. But yeah, it just doesn't make sense that you would go and do that unless you were doing something like becoming a doctor or a lawyer, where you can't just go and get work experience or learn what you need to do in other ways. You know, you might have to have some sort of formal training. But, you know, I think I said to Chris a lot, if I was doing French now, it would benefit me more to actually go and live in France for 3 to 4 years.
Exactly.
Get a job, learn the language really proficiently.
Yes.
And I'm sure I'd have a better time doing that and gain really relevant experience and become a much better speaker of the language.
Exactly.
You know, that's what I would do now. And I'm sure, well, you can do apprenticeships now over here where you go and work in a business. So say you want to be an accountant, you can go and work in an accountancy practice and you can do it as an apprentice. You have day release where you go to college and learn some of the things you need to learn, but you don't come out of it with this huge debt. You can get paid along the way, and at the end of it, you still got a degree type of qualification. So you're winning, really. And I think, you know, there's different options that you can take now. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's that tipping point of people realizing that there is a different way and it's actually possible.
Yes. That's the thing. I think I do get frustrated because it's like, this brings in so many other topics that we've already talked about, I know, but I feel like we have just been, like, it's just been hammered into our brains from the time we're just toddlers that there's a way to do things and that this is the way to do things correctly, appropriately, whatever. And anything outside of that is not acceptable or makes you less than or makes you an outlier, whatever you're taught. But I think that in doing that, it's kind of like our creativity, our natural creativity and ingenuity as humans is kind of beaten out of us to a degree. I've seen that thing where it says that something about artists are the ones that survived or something, like we all are creative to begin with. You know what I mean? And then people that create art even as adults are the ones that held on to that even through all of this indoctrination, if you want to use that word. But so I do, I get frustrated that so many of us are just like, I think so many people feel so beaten down by the rat race and by the daily grind, that there's just no energy for even real living, let alone creativity and dreaming of what could be. But I think that if we consciously chose to create space for that somehow, whether it's in communities, in person or online, or within our families or whatever, with our friend groups, I really believe that we could change things so fast. And that it could be, I don't think humanity will ever be a utopia. I just don't think that that's necessarily within us. And also utopia is different for everybody. Like, you know what I mean? So it's just not really realistic, I don't think. But I do believe that we could set up societies and culture such that, like, nobody needs to be hungry. Nobody needs to be without community. Nobody needs to be without stable housing. Nobody needs to be without reliable healthcare. Nobody, you know what I mean? Like, we
the
have it within us to create that. Huh?
The fundamentals that everybody should have.
Yes, we have it within us. We have the capability of making it so that nobody needs to live that way if they don't want to. I mean, and there could still be, I think of Rob Greenfield, and he chooses to live very differently. He chooses to live without money for the most part. He forages and finds food that way. And I think he's like planted a garden where he is right now. And but he's also doing that because there's nothing currently available within society that would allow him to live the way that he wants to live otherwise. You know what I mean? So yeah, I don't know. I just think that there's a lot more that's possible than what we typically see right now. And yeah, I start to think about, well, how do we get there? And then I do start to feel a little bit sad and a little bit frustrated, because it's like everybody's so exhausted, nobody's got the energy to even think about it. And we have to start somewhere, you know, and maybe that's with conversations like these and people just talking about it and thinking about it.
I think, like you say, people are kind of so brainwashed in a way by the media and this whole idea of this is your life and this is how you're meant to live it, that it becomes very difficult to imagine how things could be different. And I think, like you say, it's about dreaming a different dream. But, you know, I remember years ago, you'd talk about, you know, a project or something, like doing a vision board. You know, this is what I want my life to be like, and I'd like a nice house, and I'd like a job that does this, that, and the other, or I'd like to travel. And it wasn't about thinking about how you would achieve that. It was just about thinking, what is the end goal? Where do you want to be? What is it that you want? And I think it's a bit like that now. People are trying to go, well, how do you do that? How do you achieve a world where we don't have a climate crisis, or how do we impact that? But it's just thinking about what would it look like if we lived on that sort of a world, and if everybody had what they needed and resources were freely available, the basics that everybody needs. I think it's people get too entrenched in the how rather than the what.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's where we get bogged down. I think my own personal belief is that too, and I'm not great necessarily at remembering this and living this in my own life. I would definitely like to get better. But I do think that when you're able to dream the dream and kind of immerse yourself in the energy of it and kind of stay in the, like Mike Dooley talks about visualizing. He uses the word visualizing, but I would say to immerse yourself in whatever ways you can, including energetically and in whatever ways you can, really. But I think that doing that changes something inside. And again, with this idea of as we change inside, our external circumstances can't not change. They have to match what we have going on inside. And I just want to say really quickly here too, because a lot of people hear stuff like that and they think that that's victim shaming. I don't think that's victim shaming at all. I'm not saying that everything bad that happens to you is your fault. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I have seen in my own life, it's funny. My husband and I talk about, there was a Truman Show moment, or, oh, we just had a Matrix moment. Cause like, for example, we'll pull out of our neighborhood and every time he pulls out, it's like there's a short window right in front of us where there's no cars, zero cars, but coming right behind it, there's a whole load of cars. And so there's not enough time to pull out. And he's like, there it is. It's the Truman Show. Cue traffic, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you expect that. You believe that. And it happens every time. And so it just reinforces your belief again. And then another thing with him is he'll find a product like a soap or a shampoo or a lotion or something that he just loves, and they will stop making it. They will stop selling it. Nicola, I can't tell you how many times in 17 years we've been married. I can't even, it's just a family joke now because it's happened so many times over the years. And I keep telling him, I'm like, you got to change that expectation.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't happen to me. That never happens to me. You know, I have my own thing. So anyway, it's not that this is a thing about victim shaming at all. Sometimes I think shit just happens. This is part of life and it's unpredictable and we don't know. But also, I do think we have an impact. And I do think that our expectations can impact our external reality. So, you know, and I think that if we are wise, we will use that to our benefit rather than to our detriment.
No, I agree with you. And I don't think it's anything to do with being a victim. I think it's sometimes, you know, you just think in ways that are not necessarily helping you. But, you know, when you've got stuff going on or life and just the world in general, sometimes you just get pulled down and... Yeah. You know that really you need to think differently, but it's just you kind of dig yourself into a hole and then it's hard to get back out of it.
Yes.
It kind of, well, for me, it takes real effort to make those changes. You know, I think you were talking about morning routines and things like that. And you know, it's great when you've got your morning routine down and you're doing it, and then, you know, you might miss a couple of days, then you miss three, and then all of a sudden you've missed 2 weeks and it's like, oh God, I'm, you know, I was doing so well and now I've kind of got to get back on this horse and start all over again. And I don't know, maybe it's just me, but those sorts of things take huge effort.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when you understand the whole kind of frequency stuff and the map of consciousness, and you know that life is better when you're aligned and tuned in to those higher vibrations, it's just getting yourself there sometimes that can be really tough.
Yeah, that's for sure. I know that when I, you know, when I've experienced times of either depression or high anxiety, or even just recently, like this dark night of the soul, everything just feels tamped down. Like I don't have that connection. See, this is what it is for me. And this is not everybody's experience, but for me, and for me too, there's a difference between a dark night of the soul and actual like clinical depression. Like that's a whole different beast in my experience. But like I realized with this most recent Dark Night of the Soul, everything just felt tamped down. And like there was a buffer between me and my ability to feel the magic. And I knew that I was coming out of it when I had this experience of, and I just shared this somewhere else. I don't think I shared this here, but stop me if I did. I was driving home from somewhere and off to the right, we have this preserve. There's like these beautiful big old cypress trees and old oaks and red maples. And I'm just like in heaven and I'm driving by it. And I'm kind of, you know, I'm watching the road, but I'm kind of noticing these trees out of the side and thinking, God, how beautiful is this that I live here? And then I see this big old butterfly like coming across where I'm driving, cutting across where the car is. And this all happens really, really quick. But then the sunlight like shines down from the clouds through the trees, like a laser beam on this butterfly. I get goosebumps talking about it. And I like, first of all, a butterfly is very meaningful to me. And whenever I see like a real butterfly, not a moth, that's a symbol to me of like life or God or universe or whatever. And so every time I see one, it's automatic. Now I've trained myself over the years. I just automatically think, oh, there you are. I see you. And it's like this internal, thank you. Thank you for reminding me that you're there. And so, like I said, this all happened within just a matter of seconds, but just that quick, I knew that I was connected again and that I was coming out of that dark night. And so for me, that dark night feels like this disconnection between me and life, which just takes us right back to the whole oneness and connectedness thing, right? Because yeah. I do think that there's something very real and very potentially damaging in not feeling that connection, whether it's with other people, with something bigger, with whatever's important to the individual. And I think that as we remember that and reconnect with that consciously and regularly, I really do think that some of these other problems that we're experiencing as humanity will just fall away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because how can they not if we're all connected, you know?
Yeah. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? And it's almost like there's a magical solution, and, you know, it could literally happen in the blink of an eye. But it needs enough people to understand what the magic is.
Yes. Yes. See, that's my whole thing with, and why I keep talking about this whole thing with touching stillness, because I do think that I like to tell people that I heard this years ago as a teenager, there are many paths up the mountain. So there's not just one path for everybody. Yeah. There's no one size fits all. And I do believe that some form of, some people call it meditation, I call it touching stillness or sitting in the silence. I think that that absolutely has the potential to transform humanity, to make a difference for all of us for all kinds of reasons that I talk about other in other places. But that's why I keep coming back to this, because I do. It's all related. It's all just tied in together. Like as we wake up to our truth and to ourselves and to our own patterns and we heal those things, we remember our connectedness with everything. And then you can't, like, I think of things like somebody threw, do you remember those big old TVs, the big thick ones, the CRTs? Do you know what I'm talking about?
The old sort of television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big heavy duty ones, not the little thin screens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody threw one of those out like on the edge of the preserve over here and just like left it. They just threw it there and left it as if it was some kind of garbage they could leave anywhere. And I was just like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
But I think that things like that would not happen if we all really knew inside that not only are we connected to each other, we're connected to the planet. We're connected to all of life. We wouldn't damage ourselves in such a way at that point. I don't know.
So it's like, if you kind of connect to the truth of who you are, that's your starting point. And then once you've done that, you see that each of us has this truth that we may or may not have found yet, but you then understand how we're connected. And I think the journey is the journey that we each make to ourselves, and that has to be where we start from. There's a guy that I read, and he's been posting some really thought-provoking stuff on Substack, and he said a few times about how there's kind of this sense that we've all got to be the best that we can be and achieve this, that, and the other. And I know what he means, but I think it's not about how much you've achieved or how rich you are or how you're fulfilling your potential. I think the answer is more about, have you become who you're meant to be?
Yes.
Or have you fully embraced the truth of who you are? And yes. I think there's kind of, I don't know, this idea of, you know, get the best job and, you know, be the best lawyer and go up the ladder. And but I don't think that's not what we're looking for. That's no. kind of the red herring. It's have you gone through life and lived who you're meant to be?
Yeah. See, even as you said those things, I can feel something inside of me now clench up. Like, to hear anybody talk about some of these external things as like the end goal, it just makes everything inside of me like pull away and clench up. It's like, I don't even know how to describe it, because it just seems so, what's the word? Like, it has no value. It has no value, none mm-hmm. whatsoever. And that's not to say that
perceived value.
Well, I think there is a perceived value to it, but it's the value that's been placed onto it by a society that wants us to be robots.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, there's literally no value in that. There is no mm-hmm. value in that. And some people would argue and say, well, without that, society as we know it would fall apart. And I would say, let it. This is not what we want. Like, who wants to be a robot?
Mm.
I don't know anybody that, if they would stop and think about it, I do know people that have been pulled in, and I have too. I have been pulled in by, you know, the bigger house and the nicer car and yeah. the whatever, the things that we're taught to want. But I don't know anybody who, if you would stop and have a one-on-one conversation with them and ask them to really consider it and think about it, like, is running from sun up until midnight with the massive stress and the traffic and the expectations that you're going to be like just constantly performing and be a robot, is that really what you want? Is that the best that you can imagine for your life? Is that your highlight? Is that your goal? Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody who would really say that. Yes, that's, and I'm not saying that there aren't those people, there probably are. And I feel really bad for them. Actually, I feel really sorry for them, because that seems very sad to me. But I think most people, if they really stopped and thought about it, would say, you know, I think we inherently crave moments of awe. Mm-hmm. I think that we inherently crave joy, like real joy, not just fleeting happiness.
Yeah.
I think that as humans, we just crave these things, but it's hard to put those things into words and talk about them in a way that's easy to really communicate with other people. And again, when you consider what we've been taught for so long and so many generations of us, it feels difficult to turn that boat around. But again, this is why I was saying that I'm so excited for these younger generations, because they're seeing this and they're like, mm-mm, that's not, I'm not, you're silly. I'm not doing that. I'm not living my life that way. And it's like, yes, yes, good. Let's do it different. You know what I mean? Because again, once that energy gets moving, I think it'll be like a train you can't stop.
Yeah.
Which is exciting. A little scary, but exciting.
Mm. I think, you know, that's how change will happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will be, there'll be something that will trigger it.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be all these people who will suddenly be on board, and it will, things will change dramatically very quickly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I suppose people say, well, how do you know that? And how can you tell? And what will it look like? And I've no idea. But, you know, that's how I think it will happen, because doing it any other way would take far too long. You know, if we all stopped driving cars and we all stopped, I don't know, using electricity or gas or all the things that are causing the problems, to get everybody on board that way would be a mammoth task. It's, I suppose it's what they call hearts and minds, isn't it? You know, you have to win over the hearts and minds of people so yeah. that they have a natural desire to want to do something, not to feel coerced or pressurized, right. but they kind of voluntarily sign up for it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I do think that day is coming. I think, you know, I just see glimpses of stuff here, there and everywhere, and people say things sometimes and you go, wow, that's really interesting what you've just said. Or, you know, like reading about the Gaia hypothesis and just the fact that he'd use the word Gaia.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about it's not just a planet that we all live on, but it's a planet that we're all uniquely connected with as well. So, yeah, I think the day is coming.
May it be so. May it come quickly in my lifetime. I want to see it.
I know, me too. It's like, just get a move on, will you?
Yeah.
So have we come to a natural end there?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I'm thinking there's all kinds of other directions we could take it in. I do think that we can pull maybe next time from, because we had several topics come up that we also have listed as potential topics for future episodes. Yeah, yeah. So I think we'll have plenty to go from here. I think that'll be fun. Cool.
All right then. Well, thank you for listening today. And I hope you found the topic of oneness and one planet something that has sparked thoughts for you too. And we will be back again soon. Bye for now.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Conversations Across the Pond with Angel and Nicola. I'm Angel, and we are thrilled that you're along for the ride with us. If you enjoyed this episode, remember to subscribe in your favorite podcast app so that you're notified each time we publish a new one. This is a passion project for both of us, so to find us online, please go to agentlelife.co.uk to find Nicola, and to rootedmystic.com to find Angel. Thanks again. We'll see you soon.